Well, for the scripture reading tonight, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter 6. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as we begin reading with verse 16. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Well, thank you, Brother Chandler, and I want to say publicly thank you to Brother Camp for teaching us new songs from time to time. And in fact, when the DeVores were visiting our church, and by the way, they're not out sick or anything. They're in Louisiana visiting family today, and cared enough to let me know, which I appreciate. But when they were visiting our church, one of the things they said they liked best was the variety of singing, the variety of hymns that we used, including some that they hadn't heard before. And they appreciated that we didn't just sing the same 10 songs over and over again. And I appreciate Brother Camp doing that. You know, I really feel like a church, you know, a lot of independent Baptist churches don't have the kind of quality music that we have in our church. And I really think we shouldn't take that for granted, that God really has blessed us and with a good music program, and I appreciate that. Now, last Sunday night, we discussed three elements in a good testimony. And our theme this year, as you can see from the banners, is letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. So often they see our bad works. We have a bad testimony. Many Christians are an embarrassment to the name of Jesus Christ because of the way that they live. And so we discussed three elements in a good testimony, which we should have a testimony for holiness, a testimony for honesty, and a testimony of happiness. And tonight I want to expand a little bit on the subject of honesty in the Christian life. There is no substitute for honesty. You cannot be a dishonest person and overcome that by giving a lot. You can't overcome dishonesty by doing a lot. There simply is no substitute for being an honest Christian. It is said that honesty is the best policy, and that's true. But honesty is not just a policy, it is the cornerstone of character. No man can be said to have good character if he is not an honest person. Amen. Dishonesty goes with such ugly words as deception, corruption, cheating, stealing, lying, fraud, or embezzlement. Dishonesty does not belong in a Christian's testimony. There's an old saying that an honest man is the noblest work of God. And certainly, if we're going to let our light so shine before men, they need to see in us a lifetime of honesty. The honest man does not lie or live a lie. And by the way, just because we don't say a lie with our lips doesn't mean we're not living a lie. Now, suppose that a boy steals from a store. He steals a soda from the store. And later on, his mom asks him, "Did you steal something from the store?" And he says, "No." Well, he just lied with his lips, didn't he? Suppose that boy steals from the store, but no one ever asks him if he stole from the store, so he never has to actually lie with his lips. Is he still dishonest? Yes. But sometimes people think they can play mental gymnastics and, "Well, I didn't actually speak a lie, and so therefore, I didn't lie." But if you're living dishonestly, you're living a lie. And that's just as bad as speaking a lie. And it's easy sometimes for kids or anybody to frame a sentence in such a way that it's not really dishonest in the words, but it's dishonest in that it's deceptive. See, a Christian needs to make sure that he is being an honest person. God wants us to be honest people. Let me read a few points that I made last week concerning the characteristics of an honest person. An honest man will be truthful in all his business dealings. He doesn't advertise falsely. He doesn't raise money for something and put it towards something else. He's honest in his business dealings. He doesn't cheat his customers. He's honest and truthful in his business dealings. He pays his debts. I said that Christians shouldn't be like some of our bus kid families who live out as long as they can in one spot and then get evicted and pop up somewhere else and they leave a trail all around town of unpaid rent and unpaid bills. A Christian ought not live that way. A Christian is careful, an honest person is careful to pay his taxes. If he's an employee, he'll not be lazy or a thief of property or time. He'll be faithful whether his employer is present or not, because he's honest. In all of his dealings, he will do that which is expected to maintain his integrity. An honest man keeps his word. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. An honest man does not promise and then not perform. An honest man does not bear false witness or slander his neighbor. When an honest man makes a bargain and then finds out he's got it worse than he thought he would, he still keeps his end of the bargain because he gave his word. An honest person does not have to come face to face with a lock to keep from stealing that which is not his. As I said last week, the whole world could leave their houses unlocked and their cars unlocked. If everyone was like me, they wouldn't have to worry about it because I'm not going to steal. You don't have to lock your stuff up for me because I wouldn't steal it if it was sitting out there where I just could grab it and run. But see, the world's not that way. So we're talking about being a Christian who is honest so we can have a good testimony. Now in Proverbs 6, God lists 7 things He hates. A proud look, hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devise wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, the sowing of discord among brethren. And then out of 7, God mentions one thing twice. Lying and lying. Because God hates lying. Lying is an abomination. And so God says that He hates lying. A lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies. So God hates lying, yet lying seems to be an acceptable sin in our society. Men lie to their wives. Wives lie to their husbands. Parents lie to their children. Children lie to their parents. Employees lie to their employers. And employers lie to their employees. Business people lie to their customers. And customers lie to the business people. Neighbors lie to each other. And it seems like everyone is lying. But that doesn't make it right. And by the way, everyone is not lying. The Bible says in Proverbs 19 that a poor man is better than a liar. See, some people think that I can't get ahead in business or I can't get ahead in life unless I do like everyone else in the competition does, and I lie, cheat, and steal to get ahead. What's the old saying? If you're not cheating, you're not trying. How about this? If you're not cheating, you're not a cheater. A poor man is better than a liar. Now, I may not have much by the world's standards, but I tell you what I do have is a good conscience. And by the way, if you want what the other guy gets through dishonesty, just remember that what he sows, he's going to reap in his life. If he sows dishonesty, he's going to reap all that back. And you don't want that kind of harvest. The person who sows honesty will reap good things. It may not be monetary things in the short term, but the person who lives honestly will. God says, first of all, he's better than a rich liar. And second of all, he'll reap better things than the person who is dishonest. Lying is a sin. It's hated by God. And Christians ought not accept the worldly philosophy that little white lies are okay. Lying is wrong. Deceitfulness is wrong. Now we ought to recognize that a lying tongue is standard issue in the human being. When you buy a car and it's got standard issue stuff, right? Standard issue stuff. Base model. Thank you, Brother Oliver. The base model human being comes with a lying tongue. That's what I meant to say. It is part of our fallen nature. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Jesus said in Matthew 15 that a false witness or a lie comes from the heart. Jeremiah 17 says the heart is deceitful. James said that our tongues are worlds of iniquity and set on fire of hell. And Christians need to recognize the fact that just because we're saved, doesn't mean that we're sanctified. And our lives can be dishonest even though we're saved. Now, the sad thing is that many Christians never deal with the old man's tendency to lie. But Ephesians 4 says, when we're putting off the old man, wherefore put away lying. Put away lying. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. So this evening, consider some thoughts concerning honesty, because we want to have a good testimony. Honesty, or I could call this the abomination of a lying tongue. All right, number one, dishonesty is forbidden by God. It is foreboding. It's forbidden. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Those three things go together, stealing, dealing falsely, lying one to another. Stealing is dishonest, isn't it? Dealing falsely is dishonest. Saying that you're selling one thing when you're not is dishonest. Saying that something works fine when you know it doesn't is dishonest. Saying that you're raising money for something and it goes to something else is dishonest. Dealing falsely. It's not as advertised. God said that's like stealing. Neither lying one to another. Colossians 3, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. And so, God tells us not to lie to one another. God also tells us not to lie about one another. Not supposed to lie to each other, not supposed to lie about each other. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. That means telling something to someone about someone that's not true. Bearing a false witness. I saw Junior do this when I didn't see him do it. Thereby getting him into trouble and hurting his reputation and possibly his ability to support his family, possibly getting him into criminal trouble because I said something about him that wasn't true. If you don't know that it's true, you shouldn't say it. Because you wouldn't want someone to spread rumors about you that you knew were not true. Amen? And so we got to be careful of the things that we say. I know I'm a public figure. There are people say things about me that I don't think are true. Now don't go Google me to find out. But I know people have, they said, you know, Brother Raspberry, you're not the person I thought you were. You know why they thought I was something else? Because they listened to people saying things. And if they listen to me, they know I'm a great guy. And, you know, but, you know, obviously, when you're a preacher, people talk about you. That's okay. But you know what? We ought to be careful not to spread lies about other people. Not to lie to each other, not to lie about each other. God wants His children to be honest people that don't lie to or practice deception. Proverbs 12 says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Romans 12, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. 2 Corinthians 8, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Well, I don't care what anyone thinks, God knows. Man, you ought to live in such a way that everyone else knows too. I said last week, you know, sometimes people you can't say definitely that they're dishonest, just they got this slimy feel to them. You know, Christians ought not have a slimy feel to them. Ought to have such a testimony for honesty, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. 1 Peter 2, the verse we read last week, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. So God wants us to be honest, and He forbids lying. He calls it an abomination. Number two. Second main thought. Dishonesty is satanic. Dishonesty is satanic. In John 8, Jesus said this, you're of your father the devil. That's strong words. They didn't like it either. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every lie is begotten of the devil. It doesn't come from Jesus, who is the truth. And so we must understand that dishonesty, deception, deceitfulness, lying is something that is satanic. And when we practice it, we are not imitating Jesus. We are imitating the devil, who is a liar from the beginning. And the father of lies. That's why I said this last week, that in our household, the one thing that would get you in the trouble the fastest and guarantee a spanking was always lying. I don't believe you ought to spank for everything. Man, you can't go through life with just a hammer as a tool and thinking everything's a nail. There's more than one way to discipline a child, but there's one thing that always ended up in a spanking, and that was lying. Every time. And if you fessed up, you might not get a spanking. But man, if we caught you in a lie, you got it. You went to Hurt Town. You went to Spankville, where belts come free. You saved the drama for your mama. Actually, mama's harder than I was, but I'm simply pointing out that if you're going to raise Christian kids, you can't tolerate lying. Nor can you practice lying in front of them. Jesus was honest. Jesus is the truth. Jesus spoke the truth. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He's the only person that could say, "Verily, verily," because everything He said was absolutely true. He never said anything wrong. He never spoke a lie. And if we're following Jesus, we should be honest. And to be dishonest is to be more satanic than it is to be like Christ. All right, a third thought. Dishonesty is habitual and addictive. Dishonesty is habitual and addictive. You might write this down, that lying becomes a way of life. That's why we didn't want our kids to get started in it. Listen to Jeremiah 23. I have seen in Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Their whole walk, their whole lifestyle was full of lies. Proverbs 14:5, a false witness will utter lies. Plural, why? He's a false witness. He didn't have honest character, so he lies and he lies and he lies. Dishonesty becomes a way of life. People become hustlers, deceivers, crooks. People become habitual reflex liars. Let's go to Genesis. We're going to look at several passages here. Might as well get over there. I'm going to show you a couple of different instances of people in the book of Genesis lying. In Genesis 18, I mentioned this last week, but we'll see it again. We'll read it this time. In Genesis 18 and verse number 9. Now, this is a year before Isaac's born, and God's going to tell Abraham his... Well, he's going to tell Abraham they're going to have a son. Verse 9, they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door. Now, why did she hear it in the tent door? Because she's sitting over there eavesdropping. I mean, wouldn't you? They didn't have TV to watch. I mean, can you imagine how boring life might have been back then sometimes? And all of a sudden, here's some guests, and they're talking to Abraham, and she's not invited, so she's at the tent door, and she's down and kind of cracked open a little bit, and she's listening. You'd have done the same thing. I'd have done the same thing. And I don't think it was wrong for her to be listening. But anyway, she's listening. She hears she's going to have a son. She's 89 years old. She laughed. You'd have laughed too or fainted. Amen. Maybe both. And she laughed. Notice it says in verse number 12, laugh within herself. Didn't even laugh out loud. Just kind of like... She said to herself, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And he's 99. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did the Sarah laugh?" You know, you can't hide anything from the Lord. Why did Sarah laugh? I'm sure Abraham's like, "I don't know, where's Sarah at? I didn't hear her laugh." And wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, thou didst laugh. Here she is. She's talking to God. She laughs. Nothing wrong with her laughing. Just a natural reaction. Lack of faith there, but I mean, just kind of came out of left field, wouldn't you agree? And God says, Why'd you laugh? And she says, I didn't laugh. No, you laughed. Now you're going to name Isaac Laughter. That's what Isaac means. You know, why did she lie like that? Do you think she was in trouble? You think God was going to say, oh, never mind, you're going to laugh about it, never mind, I'm not going to give you a child. When she was put on the spot, she immediately, just reflexively lied. Oh, no, I didn't. Just like many of us, when we're caught up in something, we're embarrassed, we think we've done something wrong, or we have done something wrong, first thing we do, lie. I'm sure Brother Camp, when he's out on the beat, no one ever lies to him to try to get out of trouble. People just lie reflexively, and some of them are really good at it. When people lie, they do it to cover up for something they shouldn't have done. They lie to avoid punishment. They lie to avoid embarrassment. They lie to cover up a deceit. They lie to make themselves look better. They got a story for everything, you know. Exaggeration's a liability. Remember that from last week? Lie to make themselves look better. Lie to make other people look worse. Sarah lied because it was reflexive action. And I think I'd rather, if I'm going to develop a reflex of honesty. So if I do something wrong, I'd like to immediately respond with repentance and not lying. You're not going to fool God anyway. Most of the time, you're not going to fool people, so you might as well respond honestly. That's kind of disarming when someone just fesses up immediately. But lying sometimes becomes a habit and a reflex. Number four. Dishonesty will hurt your reputation. And we talked about last week our testimony and our reputation and our character. Let's go to Genesis 12, since we're there in Genesis. Genesis 12. Let's see how lying hurt Abraham's testimony and reputation. Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 10. There was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, or just to spend a little time there, for the famine was grievous in the land. It came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So here's their plan. He's going to lie, and he gets his wife to lie with him. Now, there was a grain of truth in that because she was his half-sister. This was a different age. She was his half-sister. But she was all wife. Wouldn't you agree? And so it was an all lie, wasn't it? Absolutely. He lied, she lied, and you know what happened? When Pharaoh found out, look at chapter 12, verse 17. The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now, someone sent me a question recently. How come when Joseph was in Egypt, it says that it was an abomination for the Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews? You realize at that time there were only 70 Hebrews in the whole world. And the only interaction that they'd had with the Egyptians was Abraham. So why wouldn't they even sit to eat with a Hebrew? Could it be because about 200 years before Abraham came down and lied and caused them to be plagued? And because of that, that lingering testimony was that we don't eat with the Hebrews because we don't eat with the descendants of Abraham, the liar. Is that possible? See, lying hurts our reputation. Isaac did the same thing in Genesis 26, except Rebekah wasn't even his half-sister. And this was the Philistines, and they lied, she's not my wife, and One day, Abimelech the king looked out his window and saw Rebekah and Isaac sporting. I don't think they were throwing the football around. Probably smooching on her. Enough where he said, "That's not your sister." And he rebuked him in Genesis 26:10. "What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lied with thy wife. That would have brought guiltiness upon us." And so, lying hurts our testimony. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. When you're on the job, when you're out in the world, if you want to have a good testimony and let your light so shine, you've got to have a testimony for honesty. When I worked on the freight dock with Cliff, my supervisor, every night I'd go in at 6 o'clock, it'd be 110 degrees inside the trailers during the summer. He said, "All right, Raspberry, your trailer's over there in the sun. You got the Sony trailer. You go open the trailer up and it's nothing but Sony VCRs and televisions. They're not even on pallets, just floor to ceiling. VCRs, TVs, electronic equipment that you've got to take out, put on pallets, move down." And he said, "You know what, Raspberry, you know why I give you that trailer every week?" I said, "Why, sir?" He said, "Because I know you're not going to go Christmas shopping." I said, "Well, I'm sure honesty will pay off in the end somehow." But it did, because when you're honest, people trust you. And when you're dishonest, they don't trust you. And so, dishonesty hurts your reputation. Number five. See, there's not much good to say about dishonesty, is there? Dishonesty will divide families. Look at Genesis 27. Dishonesty will divide families. Genesis 27. And this is the story of Jacob stealing the blessing. Now, he should have got the blessing anyway, but the way he went about getting it was not the right way. Genesis 27, verse 18. "He came to his father and said, 'My father,'" or excuse me, he said, "'My father.' He said, 'Here am I. Who art thou, my son?' And Jacob said unto his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me.'" See, he's trying to imitate like he's Esau. "And Isaac said unto his son, 'How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son?' 'Because the Lord thy God had brought it to me.'" Don't you love when people bring the Lord into their lives? "And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou art be my very son Esau or not.' And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.'" Because he put those goat skins on. Esau was a hairy guy. I worked with a guy like that, and I wish he'd worn more clothes, to be honest. Seriously, this guy was he looked like an orangutan. His hair to stand. Anyway, you don't want to know that, do you? That's what Esau was like. And so he said, you sound like Jacob with a cold. Let me feel you, because Jacob's smooth and Esau's hairy. And he touched the goat skin, and it says he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." See, the whole thing was a lie, every bit of it. And I believe I counted up five times he lied directly to his father. So his father, full of doubts, I mean, it sounded like Jacob, I can't see him, he feels like Esau, but he finally just said, "Are you Esau?" "Oh, I am.
I am."
He lied to his father. And because of that, the family ended up divided. He got the blessing, got the birthright, then he had to run away for his life and was gone for over 20 years. Esau wanted to kill him. Jacob and Rebekah, they didn't exactly have a fairy tale marriage either. They had his and her sons. They were divided. She wanted to try to trick her husband, and all that stuff was going on. You know why? Because they weren't honest with each other. You know what? In your household, folks, listen, lying will divide your families. You've got to be honest with each other. Spouses should not lie to each other. My wife knows this. If she says to me, "Do you like this dress?" If I don't like it, I'm just going to tell her I don't like it. Because I don't think that it's fair for her to think that I like something for the next 5 years when really I don't. And then later when I finally say, "I never did like that." "Well, you said I like you." So I just never feel like it's worth it to be dishonest. And I hope that she appreciates that. She says, Do you like my hair? Well, I like it better this way. If you don't want the honest answer, don't ask me that. And I'm not going to say, no, I hate it. I'm not stupid. I'm just honest. I don't believe in lying to my wife about where I've been. I don't believe in lying to my wife about what I do. I don't believe in being deceptive. I don't believe in living a double life. I don't believe in having secret patches of my life. I believe we ought to be honest with our spouses. And I think we ought to be honest with our children. That's why I never told my kids that Santa Claus brought presents. Now, if he brings presents to your house, that's your business. But in our house, he doesn't come around. You know who buys the presents at our house? Me and Mom. We get all the credit. Never did want to lie to my family. Never wanted to lie to my kids. If it's not their business, I tell them it's not their business, but I don't lie to them. Why in the world do parents feel the need to lie to their kids all the time? Well, they won't understand. Then tell them they don't understand, but don't lie to them. You're teaching them dishonesty. And children should not lie to their parents. Can I get an amen from the parents? I mean, boys and girls, teenagers, you shouldn't lie to your parents. You shouldn't live in such a way that you have to lie to your parents. Lying destroys trust, and trust is one of the pillars of the family relationship. We've got to be honest with each other because lying will divide families, divides marriages, divides relationships. Lying is a destructive thing. And trust is hard to win back. One last thought. Dishonesty can bring God's judgment. Of course, the great New Testament example is Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife that sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it. They both knew what they'd promised. They both knew what had come in, and they both decided to lie. One, Ananias came to Sunday school, and Sapphira just came to church. That's why she got there late. Peter said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Where did Peter realize that lying came from? Came from Satan. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he dropped dead right there in church. Then Sapphira came in 3 hours later. I guess they had long church services back then. Came in 3 hours later. "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Peter said, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and they started the first church cemetery, Ananias and Sapphira. You see, in the New Testament, God killed people for lying. And I wonder how many funerals we'd have to schedule if God still did it today. Well, I misspoke. There's one more point. Dishonesty hinders our relationship with God. 1 John 1. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleanseth us from all sin." You see, walking in darkness is walking in dishonesty. And when I'm walking in dishonesty, I'm not walking with God. Does that make sense? Sure it does. We expect God to walk in lies with us? Of course not. And so I can be saved, but if I'm living a dishonest life, I'm not in fellowship with the Lord. I'm living a lie. And the way to get that right is to confess our sin and get right with God about our dishonesty and about our sin. Lying is walking in darkness and deceitfulness. Let me say this in conclusion, that lying will cause many to end up in the lake of fire forever. The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Before that, it describes the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And then it says, and all liars. There's something questionable about the testimony of someone who lives a lie concerning their profession of faith. And certainly many who have spent their whole life having never been honest with God about their sin and their need for Christ, will end up in the same fiery eternity as sorcerers and whoremongers and the abominable. Despite the attitude of our society, Christians need to return to honest living. If we're going to let our light so shine, they've got to see good works which include an honest way of life.